And then we'll continue the sermon series. We're on Romans chapter 6, verse 15. God from Ezekiel 14. Then certain of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their hearts and set the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I indeed let myself be consulted by them? Therefore, speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, anyone of the house of Israel who takes his idols into his heart and sets the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and yet comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him as he comes with the multitude of his idols, that I may lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel, who are all estranged from me through their idols. Here ends the reading of God's word. Now turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 15. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. Hear the word of the living God. Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness, but what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here ends the reading of God's word from Paul's letter to the Romans. We're in chapter 6 of Romans. In chapter 5, just to remind you, the topic was the guilt of sin that was dealt with by the life and death of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Here the topic is the power of sin over people. After the American Civil War, the U.S. Civil War ended in the 1860s. During that war, slaves in the South were set free. The Emancipation Proclamation was done by Abraham Lincoln so that the slaves knew that they were free according to the North. Now, the strange thing that happened for some of those slaves in the South was that they returned to serve their slave masters after having been emancipated, set free. Same house, same work, same master. They were legally free on paper by the law. The South lost the war. The North had set them free. But they came back and served the same masters in the same place for the same so-called rewards, although there was no legal power over them. Now consider that for a moment, how strange that was. It was perhaps the familiarity of the slave master, the familiarity of the land and the house and the work that they had done. Paul is saying something about slavery here, which is not about the U.S. Civil War in the 1860s. But there's a similar reality that Paul is addressing about Christians in his day and in our day. About the power of sin. This is about the power of sin. There are three ways that Paul discusses the power of sin in this passage. One is he contrasts between what it was like then, what the power of sin was like before you were a Christian, and what the power of sin is like now that you're a Christian. Before you were not a Christian versus now that you are a Christian. So he does that contrast. We'll look at that. The second thing he discusses is, what is slavery? What is the nature of slavery? Not the American slavery in the Civil War era, but what is the nature of the slavery he's talking about? And then Paul gives an application. So I don't have to invent the application. It's in Paul's passage here. So we'll look at the contrast between what you were like before you were a Christian, what the power of sin was like then, and what it's like now that you are a Christian. And then we'll look at what is slavery, what is Paul describing slavery as being like. And then we'll look at the application Paul has. But what's the contrast between before you were a Christian and now? Very simply, you have a different master. Paul has declared in previous chapters that you are now, Christians are now free, not only from the guilt of sin, but its power. Its power is broken over you. And you have that was your master. Sin was your master. Now you have a new master. So it's freedom from the bondage of sin in order to serve righteousness, to serve God, to do good, whereas before you only did sin, you did evil. You did not get free from sin to have no master. You have a new master. Before you were mastered by sin, now you're mastered by the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit in you. So you went from an evil master to a righteous, pure master. Let me just read the passage. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness, but now that you have been set free from sin, that's the before and the after, you have now been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, a new master. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. That's the before. That's the after. So Paul contrasts for the Christian a time when they were slaves to evil, to sin. But now they have been changed because they have a new master and are now slaves of God. And that word slave is a very good translation. The word slavery occurs 8 times in this passage. Four are positive and four are negative. And you can imagine. The positive ones, it's you're slaves to God. You're slaves to righteousness. The negative is you're slaves to sin. You're slaves to transgression. You are a slave. You were a slave, obedient to that sin power in you. How can there be anything good to be said about slavery? Well, let's just say one thing about this. Unlike the American slaves who were freed from their slave masters to then, for the first time, be free without a master, what's going on in Paul is he's explaining you are not free from having your own life for yourself. It is not slavery versus freedom to be your own whatever. It is slavery from an evil master, one master, to another master who is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the negative is you were once slaves to sin. Verse 19, you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. This is the progressive nature of being enslaved to sin. You get worse and worse as a sinner. That's the negative aspect of being a slave. Horrific, even. What's the positive aspect of being a slave? You have become slaves of righteousness. Now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification, leading to the change in you. In verse 22, but now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. No in between. You either serve sin or you serve God. And he says, when you become slaves of God, the fruit you get, the profit, the result of you being a slave of God, is it leads to the change of sanctification in you. And it's an eternal life. The goal. So according to God, God's word here, is you and I always have a master. You are never ruling yourself. You are serving someone or something. It's either sin or God. You are never really free in the sense of, I'll just do whatever I want. When you say that, you're showing that you're not understanding what Paul is saying. As a Christian, you must understand you are not independent, self-whatever, master of your own fate. You are serving either evil or good. You're either serving sin or you're serving Jesus Christ and his way of living as he is your Lord, or sin is your Lord. So, sin and God are the only two masters. You cannot choose to have zero master. There's no gray area in this war or in this slavery. One leads to death and progressive evil, and the other leads to heaven and eternal life. So, to emphasize it again, you're never just free. You're free from that master, and now you're under this new master. You're set free from an evil, wicked master to serve a better master, a good, wise, powerful master, the Lord Jesus Christ and God your Father. We may think at times, I have no master. But you will always serve someone or something. And you have been delivered decisively from bondage with a bad master to do what? To serve a good master in whom you will find life, an abundant life. You will find joy, peace, a kind of rest. And then Paul is saying, you've got to choose. Who are you going to serve? Will you serve sin? Will you, who are Christians, continue to serve the sin master you had from the day you were born till the day the God Almighty changed your heart and mind to see the glory of Jesus Christ? Are you going to leave the glory of Jesus Christ and God your Father for sin that was your master before? You're going to go and serve that sin, master? Which leads to death, misery, and shame, and real guilt? Or are you going to serve righteousness and a God who brings truly good blessings to you? So that's the contrast. When you weren't a Christian, you had a master. Now you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, you have a new master. Now, what's the reality of slavery the way Paul is describing it here? How is slavery described in verse 16? Basically, it's this: you are a slave to whatever or whoever you present yourself to obey. When you present yourself to someone or something, you put yourself at their use. You're saying, use me. When you present yourself to sin, you say, use me, sin, to do sin. When you present yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ or God your Father, you say, Jesus Christ, use me to do your will. As opposed to, sin, let me do your will, the devil's will. Again, verse 16. Do you not know? Paul is saying, don't you know this? If you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey. Either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, you could say of obedience to God, which leads to righteousness. There's no middle ground there. Paul is not giving you a choice that's like, well, I just want to be neutral. No. And then verse 19, he says this. And here's what he uses, this phrase, just as. So just as this, so that. Just as you've already been doing this, you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So he's appealing to the Christian. Do you remember when you presented your talent and ability as servants or slaves to impurity, corruption, and law breaking, which led to more breaking of God's laws? Just as you did that, now do this. So now, present your members, your talent, your ability, as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. He's making it a black and white comparison. The darkness of a life leading to more and more wickedness, and the brightness and the glory of a life that leads to more and more light and purity. Presenting yourself as of use to sin, or presenting yourself as use to God's disposal to serve Jesus Christ, presenting yourself for use by God is not a passive thing. You are the one who presents yourself to Christ to be of use to him. You were someone who presented yourself to sin to be of use of sin. In this, Paul picks, later on in Romans chapter 12, Paul picks up this idea of presenting yourself as like the Levitical priests in the Old Testament in chapter 12 of Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as not dead sacrifices like the dead animals the Levites had in the priesthood, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Paul in chapter 12 is going to say, here's what you need to think of. You think of yourself as like, I can't do anything for God. No, you think you're either going to be just relaxing at home with your family and friends and going to church. No, you need to think of yourself as, I have been rescued from the clutches of sin and death and more sin and more corruption. I've been rescued from that to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve God as Father. Now think of yourself as the great high priest in the Old Testament offering a sacrifice. Only that sacrifice was a dead animal. You, Christians, are to be living sacrifices. And God was pleased with the ultimate sacrifice of his Son on the cross. And you have to know that God is pleased with you when you offer yourself without any like caveats, not like, oh, I'll do this if you do this for me, God. Just, I'm going to serve you, period. So Paul is saying, you in Romans chapter 12, you are to present yourself as a sacrifice to God, living and acceptable. Acceptable to God. Always acceptable as you say, God, use me to do your will on earth. Now, in our day and age, probably in every Christian age, there's various errors related to this. One error is that I can't do it. I'm defeated by sin. I'm still enslaved to sin. I still do what I used to do. Well, the evidence you have in your own life, everyone in this room has this evidence. I'm still attracted to some of those sinful things I used to do. I may be free to the bondage of being enslaved to it, but you know, I think about what I used to do and I kind of liked it. No, I really liked it. And that, you don't see it the way God sees it. I'm still attracted and tempted by it. But Paul says this to you who have maybe that defeatist attitude about your own sin. You were once enslaved to sin. But now you have become obedient from the heart to God. Your bondage to sin is in your past. Sin's power has been defeated. But because you're still attracted to those old sins, doesn't mean you're enslaved to them. Because that bondage, according to Paul, according to the Word of God, has been broken. God has given the power, because it is his power, to change your nature to be no longer enslaved to sin. You may be attracted to it, but you are not enslaved to it. So the illustration from the slaves during the Civil War. It is possible, and it happened, that a freed slave returned to his previous master and might have said something like, well, it's too hard to be free. I'll get, you know, 3 meals a day, a roof over my head as a slave in my old master's house. A slave in that sense can return to his old master for his old pay, his old lifestyle. The freed slave is not really bound to that old master. He has legally been set free. The former slave master to that African-American slave is free from that master because of the laws of the land. But he keeps presenting himself to be of use to his old master for some crazy thought. Don't allow yourself to act like you are enslaved to sin. You can choose, you should choose, to serve God, serve Christ. The second error which is there, has been there in some Protestant churches, is that you can think, I'm now perfect. No temptation here. The mistake is thinking that because Paul says I'm free from the bondage and enslaving power of sin, you think I'm no longer going to be tempted by sin. And that's not true as well. In fact, there's parts of the Bible that say, if you claim you're not a sinner, you make God out to be a liar. So we still are tempted. We still do fall into sin. But it's not enslaving power. So all those who are united to Christ might say, well, because I'm united to Christ, I don't sin anymore. No, that's not what Paul is saying. The rest of Scripture balances that out by saying there's a definitive break with sin, but you're still tempted by it. And we do confess real sins every Sunday, and we should always throughout our week confess real sins quickly and so forth, because if you don't confess real sins, you're serving, you're making yourself useful to that former master. You're not enslaved to that master, but you're serving that former master, and if you continue in it, you'll go deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. What Paul says, to paraphrase what he's saying in this passage, for the person who goes from being not a Christian to being a Christian, for the first time in his or her life, you have the ability to be of use to God. So present yourself to God to be of use to the Lord Jesus Christ. Use me, God, to do good, to be changed, to be righteous and do righteousness. So to believers, Paul would say, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, either of sin which leads to death or of obedience which leads to righteousness? So when you present yourself to God, you are presenting yourself as obedient to God, and you are really doing good. So if you present yourself to something, then you become its slave. Don't present yourself to be of use to sin. A Christian's experience can be that you did present yourself to sin and obeyed your sinful desires, your sinful nature. Now that enslaving power has been broken, but now the Christian, you all need to know, it takes effort to live the Christian life, to constantly think, am I serving the evil one, or am I serving the Lord Jesus and my Heavenly Father? And it takes a persistent asking that question. You don't always ask, is it sin versus not sin? You should ask the question, not just is it sin or not, but who am I serving? Am I serving the Lord Jesus? Am I serving my Heavenly Father? Or am I serving sin? The Westminster Larger Catechism has this to say in part about this topic. This is question 149. Is any man capable perfectly to keep the commandments of God? No man is able, either of himself or by any grace received in this life, perfectly to keep the commandments of God. But, and here's the but, but does daily break the commandments of thought of God in thought, word, and deed. The reality for all of us in this room is we are between being totally enslaved to sin and being entirely glorified and purified, which will happen when we enter heaven. Now it's a fight. You won't be fighting in heaven. No. And this is also not a lost cause. You say, well, I struggle so much against sin and I keep doing it. It's not a lost cause. It's not without hope. But it is not easy. Work, spiritual work, study of Scripture, confessing your sin over and over again, being accountable to somebody, sin is still, here's the point. If you go way back to Genesis, other than Adam and Eve's sin, what was the first sin that was committed after that? Murder. Right? Cain and Abel. Brother murders another brother. The Lord said to the not yet murderer, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your face fallen? If you do well, you could say, if you do righteousness, if you serve righteousness, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, he's saying, if you do evil, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, and you must rule over it. That's the thing that's going on in each one of our minds and hearts. Who are you going to serve? Who is going to rule over you? Sin? Or God? Now the application comes right out of Paul here. Choose to serve God, not sin. It's a constant decision. It's a constant thought war, a constant battle in your heart. Do I serve God or sin? There's no other choice. Don't think you're free to choose to serve no one. This is true for every decision you make. You know, sometimes it's really clear, sometimes it's so subtle. You can't say, I'm just going to serve myself at this decision. I won't serve anyone. I'll just serve myself. You can't say that. That is not an option. So if you say, I'm just going to have a nice vacation with my family and so forth, are you serving God in doing that, or are you serving sin? You can do it either way, depending on your heart and mind. You could say, I'm going to go on a vacation, I'm going to go whatever, and it's going to be serving sin, your own sin or someone else's. Or you could say, I want to use this vacation to serve God. It doesn't mean you're going to go and be an evangelist or a missionary somewhere, but you just have an attitude and a decision. I'm serving God by this. Use me, God. You know what happens then? If you say, use me, God, for my vacation, and your vacation plans get interrupted, you go, well, that was, I told God, use me. How upset are you going to be if you said, God, use my vacation for your glory? And then it gets tanked. Clearly, God didn't want you to do that. He took away your option for vacation. That is what's going on with this. Who's your master? And don't just think in terms of the law of God. You know, it's black or white. It's sin versus not sin. It's who are you serving? You're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, use me. Or you're saying, well, you don't say it explicitly. Well, I have this demand. I've got to have this. And that demand can turn into a desire that is going to corrupt you because you're serving your own sin nature. Now, this is very, very personal in this way. You will be with one master or the other. You're living for one master or the other. One master has life for you. The other master has death and corruption as your reward. Think about this. Jesus is your Lord. God is your Father. How good was Jesus? Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself by taking the form of a slave. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every name, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. this Jesus who humbled himself unto death for you and me is our Lord. This is very personal. You are serving that Lord, that God who sent that Son of his to do this for you and me so that we would then serve him. What did sin do for you? It gave you sinful, shameful, guilty pleasures that destroyed you, or almost destroyed you, and brought you shame and misery. And for some people, it leads to suicide, despair unto death, broken relationships, hopelessness, helplessness, and people escape into fantasies, alcohol, or drugs. This is the reality of what sin is doing to those around the world. You may have friends or family members who are in total despair, who are drug addicts, alcoholics, and they are, or maybe they're fantasizing about something that would happen, or they go into this escapist mode, thinking of, fill my brain with something other than the reality that I'm wasted by my own sins. Sin, brothers and sisters, wants to get you to believe a lie, that it has the way of happiness, and the reality is it'll kill you. It will never really satisfy. Sin wants you to believe that a happy life is a life where you say, the way I get over temptation is to give in to it. Bottom line is, sin turns you more and more into the image of the devil, the evil one. And presenting yourself to God, to the Lord Jesus, turns you more and more into the image of the Son of God, the only glorious, perfect human being who ever lived, pure, gracious, humble, seeking broken-hearted people, seeking people with broken bodies to help them, being a friend for tax collectors and sinners. He's the one we are following. Use me, Jesus, we should say every day. Use me, even me. That's the application. Let's pray. Father, we pray that the words of yours would be like seeds planted in our hearts, finding good soil, and that those seeds would grow deep roots into this truth and bear fruit, resulting in wondrous, wondrous changes in us and those around us. We pray that we would understand this is your plan for us. Not that we would be free from sin, but that we would be free from sin and slaves to you, servants of yours. Oh, Father, use us, even us, as we present ourselves as living sacrifices to you, to do with as you will, to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, so that we would know him better who died for us. Oh, Father, what a glorious option we have, and what a deadly option we have. Help us to choose well, and where we have chosen wrong, lead us to quick repentance and restoration. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.